Take your Bible tonight and turn to Judges chapter number 16. Judges chapter 16. Tonight we'll have lesson number 21 on the subject of helping people. Helping people. Judges chapter 16. Once you find Judges chapter 16, look back at me for just a moment and then I'll tell you the title. The title tonight is Helping People by Controlling Our Pride. Helping people by controlling our pride. Judges 16, look at verse number 18. Stand with me if you will, please. Judges chapter 16, verse number 18. I'll read out loud and you can follow along silently. And the Bible says, "And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, 'Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart.' And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, 'The Philistines be upon thee, Samson.' And he awoke out of his sleep and said, 'I will go out as at other times before and shake myself.' And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." And let's pray. Father, bless the lesson tonight. Help us to grow because of it, but Father, help us to help people because of it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. I think the issue of pride, pride will keep us from helping people. Pride will keep us from doing what we ought to get done. Boy, I don't know. I don't know what your besetting sin is. I don't know what it is that you deal with most, but I can tell you immediately what I deal with most, and it is my pride. I constantly have got to work on myself, and about the time I think I'm doing okay, I mess up again, and my pride gets the best of me. Folks, we will be placed on a shelf and be unusable by God if our pride is not controlled, if our pride is not kept in check. If you want to help a lot of people, God will use you to help people, but you're going to have to stay humble in doing so. If you want to help God, you'll help God best if you are His humble servant. But pride will distance you from God. Pride will keep you from helping people. Let me tell you this story that we just read. It's one of the famous stories in the Bible. It's about Samson. Samson at one time was a very powerful man. He was a powerful man both physically and spiritually. It is said more of Samson than any other person in the entire Bible. It says this: "The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson." Nowhere in the Bible does it make that statement about anyone as much as it says that about Samson. Samson was known for his superhuman strength, but Samson became proud. His parents had taught him to find a woman that loved God, that was right with God. But he was so full of pride that he thought he knew better than his parents. He thought he knew better than his pastor. And he went out and found a woman that was not right with God. Her name was Delilah. Actually, she ended up being a friend to the devil and an enemy to Samson. She agreed to help Samson's enemies to capture him. The Philistines wanted his power contained. Well, in his pride, he risked his power with God. And he risked his power with God in regard to his association with this gal by the name of Delilah. She asked Samson one day, she said, what is the secret to your great power? And his answer, the first answer he gave, he said, "Bind me with 7 green vines that have never been dried before." And her response is, she bound him. And then she had a plan. She called the Philistines that were hiding and said, "Come get him." What she had told him did not hinder his power at all, and Samson was able to shake the vines off, and he was able to overtake his enemy. But the plan was, they were trying to figure out how to minimize Samson's power. Now, Samson's power up to that point had been used to help people. If you knew the stories, he would defend people and help people and salvage people and protect people. But his pride kept him from helping people. It happens here in just a moment. Delilah, she tried once to figure out what was the secret to his power. And she didn't figure it out. She comes to him a second time and says, "What's the secret to your power?" He said, "Well, if you'll tie me up with new ropes." And it went through the same process. She tied him up with new ropes and said, "The Philistines are upon you." The Philistines were the enemy. And he shook off the ropes and broke them and was able to defeat his enemy. She asked him again, said, "What is the secret to your power?" He said, "If you'll weave my hair into 7 locks, that's going to do it." Now, personally, I think he was having a lot of fun with her. You know, she might have been blonde. I'm not sure what was going on here. But she weaves his hair into 7 locks. And she says, "The Philistines be upon thee, and here come the enemy." And Samson stood up and shook his head and beat the stuffins out of the Philistines again and was able to defeat them. She asked again. This is where you get that term where your wife is harping you. She's harping him. And she comes back again and says, "Tell me, what is the secret to your power?" Well, he said, if you cut off my hair, I will lose my strength." Now, someone said to me, "Well, that just shows you men ought to have long hair." That's not what that teaches at all. You're full of prunes. That's not what the Bible teaches here at all. He had taken a thing, he took a vow where a razor did not come upon his head, and God's not telling us all to grow our hair extra long. And thank you, Brother Mike, you're very obedient in that area. But he told Delilah, he said, "Delilah, if they cut my hair, you cut my locks, I lose my power." And the Bible says this, when he was asleep, she took out a razor and she cut his hair. And in Judges 16:20 it says, and she said, "The Philistines be upon thee." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. In other words, he thought, "I've not lost my power. I can disobey and not lose my power. I can tell my secret and not lose my power." But it didn't work that way. It didn't work that way. Because of his pride, which led to his disobedience, now they take him captive. And this is what he said. He said, "I will go out as other times." In his pride, he said, "I've not lost my power. I'll do the same thing I've always done, and I will have my power." And the Bible says, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He was so full of pride, he had no idea how weak he was. And in Judges 16:21 it says, "But the Philistines took him, they put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." They blinded him. Now, his pride had already blinded him because he did what he was not supposed to do, thinking he was still going to have the power of God on his life. But it didn't work that way. Now, he is not only blinded spiritually by his pride, they actually put his eyes out. They took hot pokers and put his eyes out. Now, here's something that's very sad about that. Samson had served people. He was the champion of the people. Boy, if there was an enemy, Samson would be called upon to help them and to serve them. And Samson was a man that helped an awful lot of people. Now he's just strapped to a grinding mill and like an animal. It says, now listen to this, Obadiah, verse number 3 says, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee." The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Folks, I do not know what sin it is that is committed by Christians that limits us the most in regard to helping God and helping people, but I would guess we're going to talk about it tonight. I would guess the sin of pride is the one that keeps you and I from accomplishing what we ought to accomplish in regard to helping God and helping people. I'll say this. This is not my sermon. I think one of the greatest proofs of pride in a life is a lack of prayer. See, you might consider yourself a very humble person, but the fact that you don't pray means you think you can do it on your own. So lest you say, "Well, I'm not an arrogant, cocky kind of a person. You don't have to carry yourself as one that has pride. All you got to do is prove that you think you can do it without God. What makes you think you can do it without God? Well, the absence of prayer says, I don't need God. I'm not going to take the time to get God's help. I can handle this. Folks, that's why we end up in messes. That's not the sermon. But that's enough. We could give an altar call right now. I want to talk to you about this thing of pride now. First of all, did you know that pride, the way it works, pride tends to hide itself from us. Most of the time when we're being proud, we're not saying, I'm being proud. No, we don't think we're being proud. So that, boy, isn't that a dangerous enemy? I talked to men that were in the Vietnam War. They said the scary part about the whole mess was the Vietnamese, they knew how to hide themselves. You weren't sure where they were at. You talk about real tree and camo, and you think, wow, that's really good camo. The enemy back then, they knew how to hide themselves. Hey, you all remember back when the war was fought by what they called gentlemen, and they would wear bright red suits, and they would march toward each other and just shoot at each other, and you'd fall over and say, it's my turn to die, and thanks. And that wasn't like that in the Vietnam War. They didn't fight like that. They hid themselves. They were a hidden danger. So the issue about pride, it's one of those things that it hides itself. In Daniel chapter 5, verse number 20, it says, but when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride. This is about King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible says his mind had been hardened in pride. It ends up stealing his throne. It took away his success and his glory. You know, it got to the point with King Nebuchadnezzar that because he wouldn't admit that he was full of pride in doing things his own way. The Bible says he was out on all fours, on his hands and knees, eating off the ground, acting like an animal until God could finally get it through his thick head that you are full of pride, sir. I mean, that man was actually, and I believe if the Bible says it, I believe it's true. The Bible teaches that King Nebuchadnezzar that was found in a field, he was crawling around on his hands and knees, actually living and acting like an animal. You say, what was the issue? He was full of pride. He would not admit he was full of pride. And until he admitted that he had pride in his life, he continued to act like an animal. Pride will make you act like an animal. It's all about self. I think that maybe the biggest problem that pride produces is that it blinds us to its presence in our life. This sounds like a trick statement. If you sit here tonight and you say, well, I don't have pride, it's a good sign that it may be there. They say the hardest part about helping an alcoholic is to get them to admit they're an alcoholic. I think the hardest thing in helping someone that has pride is they don't see their problem. They know better than God, and I don't think I'm real smart, but I do think there's some things as a pastor that I might know that you might not know. But somebody with pride, they know better than the pastor, and they know better than the Bible, and they're an exception to the rule, and they're unique, and everybody doesn't understand them. No, it's quite the contrary. There are situations in your life that could be better if you had just admit you got a pride problem going on. Pride messes up the mind. If you read in Daniel chapter 5, verse 20 and 21, and read the story of Nebuchadnezzar, his pride made him act like an animal. He lost his glory. He lost respect. Pride had his mind totally messed up. It says this, but when his heart was lifted up, his mind hardened in pride. That man messed up his mind, messed up his thinking because of pride. Pride. Secondly, pride will hide spiritual or biblical truths from you. You know, when you've got pride and it's strongly active in your life, That pride, it has a way of maybe stealing away truths that God would like you to live. Obviously, it must, because one of the primary teachings of the Bible is to stay humble and not let pride take you over. So you're missing something just by having that thing of pride being so strong in your life. The Bible says this in Proverbs 3, verse 5, 6, and 7. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. You see, pride blinds us to scriptural truths. Pride keeps us from seeing certain biblical principles. Pride will keep you from learning what you need to learn to be successful. Does your pride blind you during your Bible reading? You know, I think as you read your Bible, you're going to find some things that you need. How often do you find something that you need desperately in your Bible reading? Do you read your Bible and get convicted and then get on your knees and then get right with God? Or do you just read through the Bible real quick because, you know, you're supposed to read it and it's a good thing to do and you're marking your Bible chart? Listen, pride will make you think you're okay all the time you read. I tell you this, you're not. And you weren't. You probably should have gone to your knees this morning after you read your Bible, if you even read your Bible. That probably followed the season of prayer that you didn't have. But that's what pride will do to you. Pride will blind you. Pride will hinder you from grabbing spiritual truth. Does your pride blind you during Youth Ablaze? When Brother Elswick is in there, teenagers, preaching to you, are you missing what you need from that meeting? Everybody in here, while you're in Sunday school class, what's happening? Is your pride keeping you from getting what you need to better your life so you can help more people? You're not getting that truth? Oh, I will tell you. Being a pastor and having preached and stood where I stand through all these years, there are people that will come in and sit down in a congregation full of pride. You'll preach something that they are in desperate need of. They don't even get it. I mean, it's right over the top of their head. They didn't get it. They thought that was good for their husband, or that was good for their wife, or that was good for somebody. Somebody needed that. Or nobody needed that, because they're smarter than God. Oh, be careful now. Proud people already know everything, and so this is, some of you say, I've been saved a long time. I've been in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night for a long time, ever since I was a teenager. Never hear anything new. Oh, you don't. Wow. God should have made you the pastor. Matter of fact, you ought to be pastoring the largest church in the universe because you are brilliant. I would say your pride, you learned enough to make yourself spiritually dangerous somewhere along the way. You see, pride. Samson had helped people by the thousands. And then Samson's pride kicks in. The next thing you know, he's physically blind. He's spiritually blind. Now he's not helping people anymore. And what did it to him? It was his pride. And pride sneaks in on you, and you don't know that you're behaving in a proud way. Then it blinds you to spiritual and biblical truths that you've got to have to survive. Thirdly, pride will keep you from seeing your own weaknesses. It'll keep you from seeing your own weaknesses. Judges 16, verse 20, this is back to the story of Samson, it says, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Samson didn't know how weak Samson was. Pride makes you think you're stronger than what you are. Let me apply this. Some of you are not as strong as what you think you are. Your lack of prayer has so weakened your life, you better hope no great temptations come your way anytime soon, because you're going to fall flat on your face. Pride convinces you you'll be okay when you're not going to be okay, because there's the absence of obedience. There's the absence of some things you've got to have in your life. Samson did not know that Samson had developed a weakness. he really developed a weakness. Has your pride hidden from you your true weakness? Is it possible that you have a major weakness about which you really know nothing? Are you self-destructing, but not right in front of your own eyes? Is your pride eating away at your life and destroying you, and you're not even smart enough at this point to recognize it? I know a man that was told, said, you need to get a checkup. You just need to get a checkup. And you know, he said, I don't need to get a checkup. He said, you need to get a checkup. You need to get it. I remember people saying to him, you just don't look, your eyes don't look right. You need to get a checkup. This man was so bullheaded, he would not do what he was told. He ended up dying from cancer. You say, well, wouldn't even know. No, he had developed skin cancer on his back, and he couldn't see it because it wasn't right in front of his eyes. But it was there. There were signs there. But because it wasn't right in front of his eyes, he didn't think it existed. Folks, let me tell you something. Pride is one of those things that you better just check up on it. You better just check up. You better check up on that thing. You say, well, I don't recognize it. I'd recognize it if I were proud. I'm smart enough to know if I'm proud. And it sounds silly. Pride. Pride caused Samson to be unable to help thousands of people that he could have helped. Pride hides itself. Pride will blind you to biblical truth. Pride will cause you not to recognize your own weaknesses. You know, pride is going to keep you from seeing other people's strengths. Samson's pride not only had him fooled about his weakness, but he was blind to the strength of the Philistines. Your pride says, well, I'm strong enough. You think you're strong enough to go down to Joe's Bar and Grill and drink milk. You might want to be careful. The devil's pretty strong. The devil's pretty strong. May I recommend to everybody here that wants to stay moral, you might want to just stay away from the kind of people that will tempt you. Do you realize how powerful the devil is? Pride will cause you to think the devil has lost his strength. The devil's not lost his strength, folks. You better be careful. He's as strong as ever. I heard a man of God, and I hope he's very careful. He'd just been preaching for a long, long time, and he's 15, 20 years my senior, but I heard him say at a meeting one time, he said, I'm just so old and been preaching so long. He said, the devil can't change me. I'm too old to change. I thought to myself, oh my, preacher, be careful. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you get too old to be tempted to change what you believe. He could quite easily. And if you get to think, well, I've been at it long enough, and I've been in church long enough, and I was raised in this kind of home, and all that. Look, I've watched people raised in the very best homes fall flat on their face. Pride, it will make you not see your weaknesses. It will keep you from seeing the strength of the devil and how powerful he is. Let me say this. Pride, it is probably the sin that holds us back from being used of God more. In Psalm 73, verse 6, it says, therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Here, pride is being compared to a chain. What's a chain do? It holds you. And that's what it's talking about, like an anchor. Pride will hold you down. Pride will bind you. Pride will handcuff you. Pride will shackle you. You think somebody else is holding you back. It may be your pride. What will you not humble yourself to do in order to qualify to be used of God more? You know, I think pride is probably the ultimate sin that keeps people unusable in the service of God. I want to do what I want to do. I'm going to do it my way. You heard me say this just a few weeks ago. I was talking to a variety, and have for years, a variety of young men, and we were talking about what is the job description of an assistant pastor. One young man just had it in his brain that he had three or four things that he would be hired to do, and this was his job description. And he asked me, he said, "Preacher, what would be my job description? How do I handle this if a pastor tries to hire me?" I said, "You just tell him you do anything that needs to be done." Well, I really wanted a job where I wear a suit and a tie. I don't know where that's at in the Bible. I think you do whatever needs to be done. So many times we limit ourselves because of pride. I don't remember developing when I started preaching when I was 16. I don't remember developing a misconception about the ministry because I just watched my pastor. He did whatever needed to be done. Something needed to be done, he did it. Now, there were times when I would say and wanted to say and did say to my pastor, say, "Oh, pastor, let me do that. Let me take care of that. You don't need to do that." But I watched. It didn't matter. My pastor never felt like he was above doing anything. And folks, don't ever get to thinking in the service of God that you're above doing anything. You say, "But you don't know who I am. You don't know how smart I am. You don't know how capable I am. Preacher, you don't know what I did in the other church." Well, I don't care what you did in the other church. I see if that ruffles your feathers. That doesn't impress me at all. It's what are you willing to do for God? I worked many jobs, even secularly, where they gave me the crummiest job in the place to test me to see if I qualified to do something else. And if I was too good to go clean the toilets, they didn't want to put me behind the desk and pay me the big bucks because they didn't need someone that was full of pride. They wanted someone that wanted to get the job done. But I think pride is what keeps you and I from being used of God like we ought to want to be used. So remember, pride hides itself. Pride will blind you to the truth of the Bible. Pride will keep you from seeing your own weakness. Pride will keep you from seeing the devil's strength. Pride will hold you down. It will chain you to where you're not being used of God like you ought to and want to be used. I think then pride may be, I think pride is the biggest destroyer of marriages. Now, Proverbs 15:25 says, "The Lord will destroy the house of the proud." Destroy the house of the proud. The house of the proud. It may be, maybe it is, pride that runs in the family. It says something about the house of the proud. Teenager, if you're full of pride, you'll mess up the peace at your home. Husband, if you're full of pride, you're going to mess something up at home. Wife, if you're full of pride, you're going to hurt something. You know, you get the impression that you're so good and your wife's so bad, or you're so, your husband's so bad and you're so good. Look, the greatest cause of divorce is not, it's not adultery. It's not misuse of money. It's pride. It's pride. Our pride distances us from God. It pushes us away from Scripture and obedience to the Scripture. Pride can destroy a marriage. Folks, I think our country and I think even our churches need to see good, strong marriages. They need that. Well, what do we do? Sometimes, you know, one of the greatest things that will heal? You want to heal a marital argument? Humility. That can fix a lot of things. You ever seen a husband and wife face off? Oh, you've seen it up close. He's wrong, she's wrong, he's wrong, she's wrong, but neither one are going to give in. You'll run it in the ground if you're not careful. Then we wonder why the children are so bullheaded. Well, they watch mom and dad be bullheaded all the time. So, pride, it talks about the house of the proud. Let's not destroy our marriages. This world needs to see good, strong Christian marriages. Pride will destroy a home. It will limit us from helping people like we ought to help people. I believe this also. I think it is pride that is the biggest issue when it comes to relationship problems in general. Not just at home, but just relationships in general. Listen to this verse. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 10, it says, "Only by pride cometh contention." You know what the word "only" there means? It means only. Proverbs 28:25 then says, "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife." Only by pride cometh contention. We could fix every single relationship problem that's faced by people if they would humble themselves. Somebody needs to humble themselves. I'm talking about small relationship problems. I'm talking about large relationship problems. It says only by pride. Every church in the country that's having an issue within the church, somebody is proud. If there is a problem of disunity somewhere in that church, there is a pride problem. It uses the word, "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife." You know who the strife stirrer uppers are? People that are proud. You just show me relationship issues, and somewhere in that relationship issue, there is a root of pride. Of pride. See, pride is the root issue in all relationship problems, one way or another. One reason we don't have the relationship we should have with God is pride. One reason why we don't have the relationship we should with each other, it's pride. And let me say, the whole purpose of this series that we're teaching, this is lesson number 21 on helping people. I said tonight, it's helping people by controlling our pride. Pride causes strife. Pride causes contention. If you eliminate the pride, you eliminate the strife. If you eliminate the pride, you eliminate the contention. And when there's contention and when there's strife, you're not helping people, you're hurting people. So we need to eliminate that pride. Why? Our goal is to help people. Our goal is to help God. You won't help God if you're full of pride. Next. I read this verse because I really like this verse, and I wanted it to become a part of the lesson tonight. I looked at it and thought about it and thought about it. I hope that you can see in this verse, I think that pride keeps people from recognizing the good about you and recognizing your great potential. Do you know there are people that have great, great potential, but they're so arrogant and so full of pride, people say, "Yeah, but I'm not interested." Why? They don't want the strife. They don't want the contention that your pride brings along. You say, "But I am so capable." Yeah, and you are so arrogant. Listen, 1 Timothy 6:4, it says, "He is proud, knowing nothing." Y'all ever heard that verse before? Let me read it again. It says, "He is proud, knowing nothing." Get this. Because of pride, you end up getting credit for knowing nothing. Now, let me ask. Do you think whoever the Scripture is talking about there knew nothing? No. They knew something. But pride labeled them as an empty, scald imbecile. It said, "He is proud, knowing nothing." Now, folks, a proud person knows something. But what has happened? Their pride has caused people to say, "He knows nothing that I want anything to do with." That proud or that pride has placed itself out in front of your potential. It's placed itself out in front of your capabilities. And people are saying, "I don't want to deal with that." That person virtually has nothing to offer because of the danger of that front of pride. Pride will cause people not to see the other good parts of you. Have you ever really met someone that is cocky and arrogant and just full of pride? You don't usually say, yes, but let me tell you the 20 good things that I know about them. No, you're going, yuck, just go away. A person could be totally full of ability, but your pride dwarfs your abilities. It makes them look smaller. That's why it says, he is proud, knowing nothing. Pride was such a powerful statement that was an undesirable quality that everything that's behind it can't even be seen. Now, Samson was a powerful man. Samson, he was a people helper. If you studied the story, Samson could help a lot of people. He used that strength for God, but his pride, his strength went to his head. He became proud. The next thing you know, he loses his ability to help people. And he didn't even know he was losing it. Pride will sneak in on you. You'll be guilty of it. And it'll be too late once you realize it. That's what happened to him. Scripture won't make an impact on you because you're too smart. You're not familiar. You're not seeing your own weakness. You're not seeing the strength of the devil. You could be used more of God if you just humble yourself. It'll mess up your marriage and your home. It creates all relationship problems. Only by pride cometh contention. Then you'll have people look at you and say, all I see is pride. They don't know anything. You say, well, that wouldn't be fair. I know, but the Bible says that's what'll happen. What's our goal? We want to help everybody we can. So that, you say, what do I do? Always be checking up on your pride. When you don't think you're suffering from it, just double check it. Double check it. Never get yourself to the point where you say, well, I'm too good for this, or I'm too good for that, or that's above me. Don't think that way. Don't make anything to where it's such a small thing, and you're better than that. Folks, if we would all just keep this attitude, we deserve hell. We deserve hell. Jesus died for us. He was buried for us. He was resurrected for us, and he made heaven available. You get to thinking, I deserve better. We don't deserve better. And if you'll do that, you'll keep yourself humble and usable, and you'll find that you'll help more people. Humble people help more people. You know what scares me about the political arena? It is so full of pride. So full of pride. I don't know that America could handle a humble person. What a mess we have created for ourselves in America. If Jesus were on the scene running for president, I'm not sure that they would not try to tear him to total shreds and find his strength actually making it into a weakness, because he cared about people. He cared about the truth. He wanted to help everybody he could. But you almost can't run for president and feel that way in this day and age. Let's help a lot of people by humbling ourselves, and help a lot of people by controlling our pride. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The question is quick. It's simple. Is there something maybe in your heart, in your life? Hey, just take that opening statement about your prayer life. A proof of your pride is the absence of prayer. If you can do it without God's help, you're proud. How's your prayer life? But beyond that, let's control our pride so we can help a lot of people. The greatest helpers of people are humble people that just want to get the job done for God. That's what's going to accomplish it. who here tonight would say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart somewhere in this evening. There's no doubt about it. Would you raise your hand and say, God spoke to me? You may put your hands down. We're going to have a brief altar call. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. I have got to check up on my pride daily, continually, often. I've got to constantly say to myself, what are you thinking? Why are you acting that way? You're not as smart as what you think. You're not as capable as what you think. Remember, the absence of prayer is the presence of pride. And I'm not talking about, now I lay me down to sleep. I'm not talking about just a prayer over your meal. I'm talking about where you get God's help. You get God's advice. If you're not right with God, you ought to get right with God. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved. Ushers, if you'll prepare with the prayer bulletin. One more time through the song.